One thing around New Life, you don't know. If you miss a Sunday, you don't know what you missed. I mean, yeah, you see things online, but this place is busy. And not being busy about things just to be busy, but is busy, I believe, about doing the Lord's work. And we're not going to slow down, and I don't see it slowing down in the near future either. But what I do see is it expanding. I'm going to be preaching here in a moment, but I want to share with you before I do. There is two full-time positions here that are open in the church and in the ministries. Two full-time. I'm just going to leave them right here if you want a copy later. One is for the executive assistant and administrator for the ministry and the church, and this one here is for the men's Lifehouse director. I love to hire within because I know you know who we are. Hire without, it's a little more difficult. In fact, it's a lot more difficult. But if you're interested in it, want to look at it, tells you what your roles are, tells you what you got to do, and then we talk about details. So if you're interested, you can let me know and we'll talk. Next week, I'll talk a little bit more about each one of those. Next week, I know, is Mother's Day. We'll be working on that, but through the preaching, I want to let you know that if you're part of our church, you should probably be here. I'm going to share some of those changes, going to show you and share some things where we're stuck, when we have a hard time moving. Just kind of give you more of a hall type presentation thing of where we are and what we're doing. Sometimes as a church, you have to do that. But there'll be a little bit of there'll be some scriptures, there'll be in some things in there, but I think sometimes we just have to have a hometown New Life fellowship meeting, not a business meeting, but a meeting to share with you what is happening, because there's a lot happening and you need to hear it. Instead of hearing it through the grapevine, you need to hear all the things that are happening. But I want you to know that Jesus is still expecting and drawing men and women to him. We see that even when the church was erected under persecution, Christians were being put to death, people were still sharing the gospel. You need to get it out of your head right now. It's not, we're living in a hard time. We're living in a time where people don't want to hear the gospel. Let me tell you something about that. In hard times, people, that's when people want to go to God. So it's a prime time to start sharing the gospel. If there's one thing we lack in New Life, is we be chickens when it comes to sharing the gospel. You think it's this great big plan of A to Z to share the gospel. It's not. You share what Jesus has done for you. You let people know that they need Jesus. The Holy Spirit will work through you. You'll say things you never thought, but scripture will come up from stuff you listened to 5, 10 years ago. If you're willing to listen, God will use you. We have to get to a place. There is a danger also of being in ministry. If you keep staying inside the walls, you can't get out there and share the gospel. But my job is to train you and disciple you on how to share the gospel. But I want to share with you today that people need Jesus. Then, before Jesus came, they were looking for him. When Jesus was there, they were all coming to him. And after he died and resurrected, and the church, the birth of the church came to be, and the Holy Spirit come upon those who come to Christ, but persecution came, and death, and things to Christians, the gospel was still being preached, and people still needed Jesus. We're going to look at about three stories real quick today. I'm going to have to go through them kind of quickly because I stay in one too long. I don't want to stay there too long. I want to move on. But I want to share with you ways that the Lord works with people. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 8 for a moment. This is a good piece. This is about somebody that's going to get baptized. We're doing a baptism this morning. Yes, we're doing a baptism this morning. And while you're turning to Acts chapter 8, starting verse 29, also looking over here at the blackboard over here, we got names on it. I'm starting to write new names on it. Some of you have not written a name on it, which tells me that you don't know a lost person. Really? Okay. This is where you're going to get back to. Listen, you think you don't know what to do with what God has for you right now? Listen, you start praying for lost people, you're going to be in right in the lane where God wants every Christian to be. All right? So I see names over there. Wondering if we're praying for those names, those people there. But there's a big spot that's open. We need to fill that up with some names. But what we find here, we find a man that is interested in something he has in his hands. He has a scroll of some of God's Word. And today, people, you can go anywhere you want. You can go to a motel and you'll find, most of the time, always when I go to motels, I pull out the drawer just to see. Yep, there's a Bible provided by the Gideons. Sometimes you'll see something else in there, but there's a Bible provided by the Gideons. And so what people do is they read it, but sometimes they don't understand it. What we see here in verse 29, what happened, we see that this Ethiopian eunuch here is traveling, and he has a scroll, and he doesn't understand it. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go and join this chariot. Join that chariot. When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me. Unless someone guides me. And they begin to conversate about that scripture. In verse 35, so Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus beginning from that scripture. And as they went traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What keeps me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. What I really like about that is it also gives us a little piece off to the side. We don't always need to wait 6 months before someone gets baptized. I understand sometimes when you don't, we used to have to wait and schedule because we didn't have a baptism. We were in another building. You have to do what you got to do. But you don't have to wait and linger someone's baptism off because of scheduling. But here what we see is Philip is ministering to someone that he doesn't know. Sometimes we need to step out and talk to people that we don't know. That's the scariest time of evangelism. But what did we see in the beginning of this? What did it say? In verse 29, the Spirit told Philip. That's the key. Now everybody look at me, you that are believers. How many times has the Holy Spirit told you to share something with someone and you knew it was him and you didn't do it? That's all of us. But there are times when you do it. We need to be obedient. We need to be more obedient. Listen, we need to quit thinking that the preacher is going to lead everybody to Jesus. We need to quit thinking that the evangelist is going to lead everybody to Jesus. Not everyone does. But we must be ready to share the gospel. All of us. And we need to be sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit. So at the end of the day, as Philip is left, what happened in this ministry is someone came to Christ. And because he's from Ethiopia, when he gets back, guess what he's got that he didn't have when he left? He has the Holy Spirit. He has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now he can begin to share where he lives. It is important to share the gospel and to listen to what the Holy Spirit is prompting you. Second story, we go into Luke chapter 10. Here we find out that Jesus is going to appoint some individuals. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 1, what we're going to see here is we're going to see 70 individuals. People are going to team up to minister to other people. Verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he has sent them ahead of him in pairs in every town and place where he himself was about to go. So Jesus appointed, the Holy Spirit in the first story worked with an individual, spoke to an individual. Here we see Jesus appoints people. 70 of them to go out in teams, so that's 35 teams. Man, he's got some minister's going out, don't he? He's got a mission field. What's he talking about the mission field, though? He said, so he told them, the harvest is plenty or abundant. He says, a lot of lost people. There is a lot of lost people out there. And he says, the workers are few. Few. The workers are few. So don't, listen, it was few for Jesus in that day. It's few for us even here. We need to stop getting upset when people don't show up for things. It is what it is. Take what you got and go. But he said to pray for workers. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. But he said, now go. But what did he say? I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. It's going to be tough. You're going to get beat up. People are not going to like you anymore. They're going to say things. But you need to keep going. I am thinking of so many testimonies right now that I want to share, but I don't have time. So what we see here, sometimes we're appointed. Jesus appoints. Sometimes the church will appoint. We're going to go out and we're going to knock on doors today. We're going to go out and we're going to knock on doors. And everybody's like, ooh, yes, amen. And we have knock on doors. We have six people show up. Five people show up. 10 people show up. Because it's a scary thing to knock on doors. It's a scary thing to go invite people to certain things. Or it's a scary thing to get in people that you don't know. But we pray, I will tell you, we haven't done it for a while, but we pray before we always go because we can't do it in our own power. We have to do it with the power of the Lord. We ask the Lord to give us some boldness. Give us boldness. But I will tell you, people heard the gospel. They went out before Jesus, so they were saying, listen, Jesus is coming to this town. Get ready. He's coming to this town. Now, some cities are, there's a big section in here about when they're accepted, and sometimes cities will not accept you. Some cities are more receptive of the gospel than other cities or towns. The same thing with people. Some people are more receptive, and I'll tell you, people will give you all kinds of excuses. Ah, the church, it'll fall down. It never has. Now, I won't say that because the old buildings do collapse at times, but not because someone came in. Oh, I'm good to go. Or they have all kinds of excuses. Listen, you share the gospel, you do what you got to do, then you go. We don't get the win, and we don't take the losses. We let God work that out. But if there's one thing New Life needs to do, listen, when's the last time you brought a friend or some stranger to church? Just asking. Y'all, we sing that song, I Am Redeemed. But see how the church gets excited. The new hallelujah, we sing these songs, we get excited. And I'm looking around like, man, we get it. But what about them? But it's scary asking somebody to come to church. It's scary to ask somebody to say, hey, listen, start softly. I'm praying. I got names over there. I got a couple more I got to add. But I'm right now, before I'm talking to them, I'm asking the Lord to give me open doors. But right now I'm just praying. Lord, soften. Open a door. Give us a moment. Cultivate that ground. Cultivate it. Just can't go out to hard ground and throw a seed and expect it to grow. And grow through God, but it's not going to grow the way we need to do it. We need to be praying through that. But the teens were encouraged, and they came back saying, wow, all these great things happened. People were healed. The demons left, all those things. And Jesus said, just be thankful that you are a believer. He told them to go out and take nothing with you. The second run, he tells them, hey, take things with you. But he wanted them to learn about faith. So let me just tell you, about sharing the gospel is not just about the person coming to Christ. It's about an increase in your faith. It's about you growing as a Christian. I remember growing up in some churches when I was younger and when I was a teenager. I used to look at some Christians, whether they were men and women, and I would see a man come through the church and I was like, powerhouse. Here comes a walking pillar. And I had a sense of just kind of like reverence for those individuals, always carrying their Bible, always sitting up in the front, always reading, always asking for prayer for others and not themselves, always showing up for things, always talking about, pray for me, I'm praying for this person at work, pray for this person to come to Christ, always about the Lord's business. I have a hard time finding that here. Because people are not on our hearts, ourselves are on our hearts. These teams made a difference in the communities where they were received. And people were healed. It was really good stuff. So we see that sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us to speak. Has a moment already intended for us to be. And we just need to obey. Sometimes Jesus appoints. Now let's look over here in Luke chapter 10 just a little bit further down. It's one of my go-to chapters. I'm not going to share it all to you. It's about the parable of the Good Samaritan. We know the story. For you that don't, a man was going down the road. He got beaten up and they stripped him and left him for dead. We see a Levite and a priest. They walk on the other side. They don't get involved, but here comes a Samaritan. In verse 33 it says, "But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw him, he had compassion." If you want to know what the word compassion means, read the first six chapters of the book of Mark. You'll see Jesus pouring out compassion on people. Jesus didn't care what they looked like. He didn't care what the problem was. He was dealing with it with compassion all the time. But here we see this man who's not a Jew at this time, not a believer, but has compassion. And he went over to him and he bandaged his wounds and pouring on olive and oil and wine. And then he put him on his own animal and he brought him to the inn and he took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra cost you may spend." Here it is. It's like this. Listen, it's like, here it is. God sees a broken person who is beat down on the road. He uses a priest. He uses the priest and he doesn't do it. He uses a believer, a Levite, and he doesn't do it. And he'll find a way to show compassion. And what we find out in this story is it's not just one man who can help this person. This person can only do what he does and what he can do in his own strength and power. It's like the EMS in a hospital. They worked together. The EMS goes out in the road and pick up a house and pick up the sick, those who are, and takes them to a hospital. This person is looking like he's going to die, and the immediate pieces are put together by the bandage and those things, and gives him not walking because he can't, puts him on his own animal, and he takes him to an inn. It's a team effort. You can't share the gospel with someone in this moment. You just can't. Or usually, this person is not even conscious. Takes him to the inn. He needs to rest. He needs to recoup. He needs to heal. This is going to take some time. And I believe he knew that because he said, "Hey, I'll be back, but whatever else he needs, I'll pay for that." It's amazing how lost people have bigger pockets sometimes. You know where I'm going, right? This church is a spiritual hospital. You're all good Samaritans. We're also part of this church, this spiritual hospital. I believe today that there are more people isolated than ever before. This is at least in my lifetime. They're living more isolated, more depressed, more discouraged than ever. And let me tell you, stimulus money is not going to fix that. You'll get it for a moment, but let me tell you, if you're not used to big money, you'll spend it so fast you won't, because you don't know how to handle it. It takes time to understand that. Most people who win the lottery end up going bankrupt. That's not my words. Just research it. I did. We're not really good with money, most of us. And if we don't spend it, we'll hoard it. Money is not the answer. A solid relationship with Jesus Christ is the answer on how to live a life in this broken world. Isolated. Let me tell you, in our church, we should not be living isolated. If you're isolated, we hope that the church is not being not having fellowship with you. We pray that we are. If we don't, you need to let me know. But also, you need to open your mouth as well. It's not one-sided. You can't have a friendship one-sided. You need to open up too. You can't sit in the corner of the church and say, nobody talks to me. Because believe me this, in this church, we want people need to be important. But I will tell you, we are about people, but we are moving all over the place. But people are becoming afraid right now in this country. They're living in fear. They're hiding up. They're isolated. And in doing that, people become unsure of everything, and everything in their life becomes shaky, and they get depressed, full of anxiety, don't understand what's going on. They're afraid. Suicide rates are up. I share this from time to time. Violence is up. Drug use, alcohol abuse, physical abuse, porn is up, crime is up. All these things are up. Well, this is the time to share the gospel. This is the time to get out and ask God, God, put somebody in my heart, put somebody in my life that I might begin to share the gospel. Put some people in my life that I can do that. And let me let you know this too. People in this world, they're starting to see that it is a broken world. They're seeing that things are not right. If people needed to hear about Jesus in the book of Acts, the Ethiopian, people needed to hear about Jesus was sitting out the 70, and people need to hear about Jesus, even the guy that was broken. People need to hear Jesus today. We need to ask God to start moving in our hearts with broken people. People that are lost. We need to do that. We need to do that. I was saved at 12. Many of you were saved at different times, at different places, but you're saved. But there needs to be a time now for someone else to get saved. And you can't think that I'm going to do that. My job is to teach you how to do that. But I still like doing that. I'm going to want to do that. But all of our salvations and baptisms cannot just come from one of our ministries. It's got to come from you. You have to be available. You have to be available to God. You have to be available. The Bible says, where much is given, much is acquired. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. Which means what God has given to you, He will require much. He's going to require much for what He's given to you. Listen, He is going to require a lot from New Life Fellowship. Listen, don't be prideful in the numbers. Oh, such a small church doing such big things. I understand that to a point. I get it. But 150 people in the church is still considered small today. The number for a church that's not small is 200. It used to be 500, but now it's 200. It's a medium, good-sized church. I think sometimes we relish in the as low as we can get. We kind of feel pride. We feel good about it because God's using the small group. Listen, God will use a small group for a while, but He always ends up growing it. He had 11 disciples, and He grew, and it grew, and it grew. David had 400 men, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Listen, I don't know if you see what I'm seeing, but I'm seeing this come in every week. Trying to worship God, singing songs, and I love the new songs we're singing. I think Ashley and the team up here are bringing some passion into it, trying to get us into more of the singing and more into that worship. We understand the words. Some of you understand the words. Many of you got prayers and scripture memorized, but we're not implementing it out there. I'm just saying. Our heart needs to be burdened for the lost. Our heart needs to be burdened for those who are broken, knowing that this is a spiritual hospital. And a lot of times people get a healing and they don't stay. Can I just share my heart with you this morning? Because I'm going to close out here soon. I love people. And for some reason, God has put it in my heart to love broken people. There are some people that were part of our church that left for whatever reason. Yeah, that messes that. I have to wrestle through that because I'm like, what are you doing? Because I would say, because I know them, 80% of them, maybe 85% of them, don't even go to another church. And that works me a little bit, and then I get through it. And I pray, Lord, bring somebody else, and God, bring somebody else. But my heart is for broken people. People that say they know Christ, maybe they do, maybe they don't. People that are struggling somewhere in life. People that need a spiritual healing. Sometimes it's a physical healing. That's where my heart is. And my heart is for those lost people. They really are. Because I don't know all of them. But I put a name up there this week. Because I'm looking at this board, not just being all salvation and all baptism, but there's a name on this board that I put up. Yeah, I will tell you this. God messed me up this last week about, we live in an association. I don't like some of the rules. But I think God has put it up on my heart as I was driving to go to Alex and them were moving, and I was by myself, and the Lord just said, you think you got that house on your own? You could never have got that on your own, and it is true. And God began to reveal to me that there were 8 other houses that needed to know the Lord. And I'm already getting to know some of them better than I did living in my other house for 17 years. So I know what I need to do there. That's on the evangelism side. I'm going to work on that. I'm praying over that. I'm cultivating that ground, tilling it with prayer right now. But there is a name up here that's breaking my heart. Because there is a name, because I see broken. I know what sin does. I know what Satan does. It's almost like someone is getting their head out and they can see the light and then they just pull in. They pull right back in. So my heart really right now, my heart is broken for Sasha. That's who it is. I'm praying for that girl. There is a spiritual battle going on. I am praying for her every day. Every day. I want to tell you, if you don't think your pastor loves people, I love people. And you need to know that. I'm not up here just preaching messages. This isn't just a job. You all know I started with nothing every week anyway. It wasn't about that. It was about people. And my heart is broken for her right now because she's not in the place she needs to be. And I'm not busting her out. I'm loving on her right now. When she's with us, she looks better. When I see her out there, she looks bad. I know what she needs. But I know God knows more. And I'm going to keep praying for her. And I've seen women just leave our program. I see people just take advantage. You know, I don't want to say take advantage, but they... We do what we have to at the Mill Ministry, we do it, but we've shared some with some and they just push away. It's okay, we're going to keep praying for them. But we need to see more out of that in the spiritual side. But even if the Women's Life House and the Future Men's Life House and those gather a lot of people and the Mill Ministry start bringing in more, the church still needs to do its part. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. And we need to. We need to do that. We need to get our passion back for lost people and brokenness. Or am I the only one today? I need to spend time in prayer. Just with a few names or one name or a couple of names. I need to spend time in prayer for those people that live in my association. I will keep praying for Sasha because she's on my heart. I pray for every lady that's at the Lifehouse, but man, I pray even more for the ones that I see out on the front porch when I drive by and I see them and they're doing their thing, but they're not here. And they're not going anywhere. If they go to another church, I'm okay with that. As long as they stay faithful and committed. Change is hard. And that's why you need Christ to do it with you. And they need Christ. I see this. Here we see the Holy Spirit instructed, go and speak to this individual. I see Jesus appointing him out. This is the plan. 35 teams. Get out there. I'm coming. And then we see the so-called non-Jew, non-believer, even he wants to help. When the priest and the believer, they just walk around. And let me tell you about the innkeeper. You don't get to pick and choose usually who comes. You have to make a decision whether they can come in or not, but you don't get to pick who comes on your doorstep. So always be praying who we allow and who we don't. This message today is really to stir your heart into what we're going to talk about next week, to stir your heart, to make sure that you're praying over lost people and you're praying through brokenness and that you get your passion back. Because let me just share this. If Jesus was to come today after this service, or he was to come tonight, then all those people that you know that don't know Christ, it's over. You're not going to be equated with that anymore. There's no more opportunities for you to share the gospel with them, or even to pray with them, or even to start to develop a relationship with them. People need the Lord. And God uses people to reach people. And in this community, he wants to use us, and we're spread out all over the place. And let me tell you, if I share the gospel in Fort Wayne and nobody comes from Fort Wayne, listen, you all know a lot of people have been saved in Fort Wayne through this church. As pastor of this church, I don't boast, but I've got over 20-some people just working in landscaping to the Lord. And I miss being out in the field because that's where it was at. That's where the action's at, in my opinion. It's out there. But now I'm called to help train you. And get that passion back. When you see the brokenness and you see the news, stop looking at it. Is this all? It's just bad, bad, bad. Look at it. This is an opportunity to share the gospel. This is an opportunity to speak to people about who the Lord is. Got to get your fire back. Some of you got to get your passion back. Stir that little spark back into a flame. Because people need Jesus. This community needs the church and all that it does. But the people need the church. Amen? Amen? So let's go ahead and stand.